Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Welcome to Motivation Monday.
If you're from New Jersey, you're going to need an extra dose because it's hard to get motivated on the turnpike. They want tolls, and you have to stop at the place where they want you to stop, and you have to buy gas at their place to buy. There's a great old comedian team named Patchett and Tarsus, and they had a thing about the New Jersey Turnpike. They called it Howard Jackson's instead of Howard Johnson's, and you had to get the Hojack burger and the Hojack hot dog and the Hojack instead of the John, anyway. And then someone says, where's the bathroom? And you mean the Hojack John. It was pretty funny.
All right, so we're going to introduce our show because some of you may be joining us for the first time.
Glenn, Jeremy, Jim, Tim, and a bunch of other people are out there. There's too many to mention. Thousands of people right now are looking to be able to get involved in this live event. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute.
And so what do we have to do today to talk to you about getting your week off to the right month? Because you're already in the middle of the month and you haven't made your quota yet, which I have always recommended people make their quota by the second week of the month. What's stopping you? What's stopping you from getting shit done?
I don't know. A lot of shit stopping people.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hi, Brian. Here's the deal. I think that the definition of today's talk is about resilience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tie resilience into what you're thinking about and how that's preventing you from getting things done. I mean, we had a resilience episode. We just started this great show. We had an amazing dialogue going.
It was like the best episode ever that you'll never hear.
Exactly. And we had to start over. It called on our resilience.
So you guys may not know this, but Jeffrey wrote another book. And he basically got the contract and wrote the book all within 30 days of each other, which is like unheard of. Mm-hmm. It takes most authors like a year to write a new book. And so, and another episode, he'll be talking about like some strategies for how to write your books more quickly. And I think that's one of the things he's doing with his 2020 mastermind group as well. But for this episode, we're going to talk to you all about resilience because that's part of getting shit done. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yes. I'm going to define resilience for you. It's how you react, respond, and recover from what happens to you, and you have to do it immediately or within a very short space of time. Otherwise, your shit gets in the way of your life, and you lock up, you have a bad day, you don't do things in the way that it's best for you. And the object is to call on two things. Number one, your experience, and number two, your attitude. Because if you only have experience and you live in New Jersey and you're at exit 7, you may not have the best attitude in the world. You may be pissed off about life or pissed off about people.
So let's talk about resilience then. And what are some examples of resilience or not acting resilient that get in the way?
Well, think about your life. What happens that impacts you negatively the moment it happens? You get into an argument with somebody. You lose a sale. Somebody doesn't show up for an appointment. Your boss is a jackass.
You're in traffic and you're late.
Yeah. It's raining outside. It's snowing outside. Your plane is delayed. Your plane is canceled. Your appointment is canceled. You can't make a big sale that you need this month and it won't happen for the next month, maybe the month after that. And so what do you do? What do you say? And how do you react to it? How do you respond to it, and how do you recover from it quickly so that you can get back into productivity? What happens is when bad things happen to good people, and all of you are wonderful people, when bad things happen to good people, they stop. And you have to consider, okay, how do I respond to this? What do I say back to this person? In my little gold book, I talked to you about you get into an argument with somebody and it blocks your creativity. And 5 minutes after the argument's over, you go, I wish I would have said that to this guy. The guy's such a jackass. You couldn't remember it or you couldn't think of it because your creativity was being blocked by your negativity. No different than in resilience. Your ability to react, respond, and recover can be blocked if you have the wrong attitude, if you accept it the wrong way, if you pout.
How much do you think determination plays a role in resilience?
You have to really want it bad or badder or baddest than other people want it.
Mm.
It's the comeback in a baseball game. You got to want it worse than the other guy wants it. It's comeback in an Olympic marathon or decathlon. You have to want it, and you can see those examples there pretty easily. You can't always see that in a sale.
Yeah.
So the vice president of bullshit says no to you, but you know the president. Do you make the call? Hell yeah, you make the call. If you believe in your heart that it's the right thing to do, you totally make the call. Well, it may not be. Well, you already got turned down. What's the worst thing can happen? You get turned down twice? So think about it from the perspective of what do I have to do in order to accomplish my goal in a positive way? Something that doesn't leave a trail or burn a bridge.
I'm thinking about a time that it was snowing in New York City and I had to go meet a customer and it was a massive like blizzard. Mm-hmm. And my sister was home from school staying with me and she said, what are you doing? You can't go outside today. Like, you can't go see that customer. I'm like, no, I'm going. She's like, if you're going, I'm going with you. It's not safe. I was like, okay. So I didn't have any snow boots because it was like the very beginning of winter and I don't know what happened to mine. And I went in like the closest thing I could find. And I'm crossing the street. And by the way, the only reason my customer was in his office is because he worked across the street from where he lived. So he had like virtually no commute and he was one of the few people working that day. And so on my way there, I'm crossing the street and I just like swipe out, like fall right smack in the middle of the street on my butt, like just all the way down. And, you know, it's New York City, so, like, cars are still, like, about to come because the light's about to change. And I'm, like, literally down on the street. And my sister's trying to pull me up and, see, I told you we shouldn't be going, dot, dot, dot. I'm like, no, we're going. And we get to the customer's place and my butt's all soaking wet from, you know, falling in inches of snow. And he gives me some hot chocolate and coffee and whatnot, and I warm up, and he's like, you're the only vendor who didn't cancel on me today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, I don't understand that. I have a story. I've always been reluctant to tell this, but when 9/11 happened, I was in Las Vegas, and I had to do a talk to 350 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what happened because I'd seen it on television. I was looking for the score for Monday Night Baseball. 9/11 happened on Tuesday, Monday Night Football, I mean. So I see this plane crashing into a building, and I know something's pretty drastically wrong. And I go downstairs in Vegas. People are paying no attention to anything. They're still at the crap table at 7 o'clock in the morning, actually 6 o'clock in the morning. And I go into the meeting of the CEO and all that kind of crap, and they're going, well, we have to cancel today's meeting. I said, well, why? Well, because, you know, the plane in New York. I said, here's the deal. People are going to go back to the room and see a plane hit a building 200 times for the first hour of the day and be panicked. I said, let's have the meeting. You already paid for the meeting. Everything's here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a 45-minute talk on attitude that they're going to need anyway, and then if you don't like it, we quit.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, reluctantly, they go, okay, that's okay. 4.5 hours later, we were still talking.
Wow.
And my 20 years of giving speeches allowed me to have the resilience and the understanding, because I could have just said, yeah, I understand. I completely understand. No, no, no.
Yeah.
I refused. We had the only meeting.
That went on?
Yeah. Only one in the whole hotel. Everything else was canceled.
That's cool.
And I had to spend 3 days in Las Vegas eating like
being
a king.
Stuck.
Yeah, I was stuck in Vegas in a 2,000 square foot room that overlooked the entire strip. And
oh my goodness.
My buddy Duke and I were feasting on. Anyway, but the bottom line is you have a choice. Mm-hmm. People will stop because we are sissies in this country.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I think that you guys agree with Jeffrey on resilience and the need for it, right? But what does resilience have to do with getting shit done?
Well, here's the challenge. When something bad happens to you, it affects your entire system. It affects your entire body. And you have to decide, okay, how am I going to think about this? Can I create a positive solution? Can I create some kind of resolve that will help me get to the next level? Or do I want to just deal with it and wallow in my own shit? And what happens when you self-wallow is your attitude goes away from you. You take all the attitude lessons that happened to you and you kind of forget them so that you can, oh, woe is me for the moment or woe is me for the hour. And some people will woe is me for the day or a week. Not good. And so you have to look at the situation, whatever it is. Obviously, 9/11 is way off the chart. Let's just talk about your own customers. The guy cancels a meeting on you. It's raining outside. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You want to get home and there's traffic out the wazoo. You can't even get on the turnpike or you can't even get on the highway because there's traffic backed up. Or something stupid. You go to a restaurant and there's an hour wait. Like, go to another restaurant. Like, try to find some place that ain't crap. I don't like waiting. I just don't. So I know people. I make a reservation or we get there and they take care of us. But I don't want to wait. Well, we think the wait's going to be somewhere between 20 and 45 minutes.
Hmm.
Is that a way to greet me?
No.
That's what they were. Some idiot told them to say that. Wanted to say, listen, there's a long wait. We have some appetizers prepared for you.
Yeah.
Have a couple of them. And as soon as it's your turn, we'll call you. They give you little clickers. Why don't they give you some food?
So on Friday, you were traveling, and I went to take your car in to the service place.
Yeah.
And there was so much traffic. Like, I've never seen traffic like this, actually, in Charlotte. And so what should have taken, like, maybe 20 minutes was taking me over an hour. And I was going to get there 5 minutes after they closed by my GPS, but it kept creeping, right? So it's probably whatever. So I called them to say, okay, what's the deal? Can you stay a few minutes late? You know, whatever. And they said no. And they also said, oh, and by the way, you actually want something done here? Because we're not available in our calendars till the end of November. I'm like, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell me that like a couple of days ago when I called? But whatever. Okay. So,
by the way, they didn't get the business.
No. So I could have been like all pissed off, right? I just sat in an hour of traffic to virtually go nowhere. I went maybe a mile. Okay, maybe 2 miles. I then had to turn around to go home. I was driving your car, which, no offense, but
it's
once you
shit,
drive
yeah.
a Tesla, you can't drive anything else. And I don't mean to sound like a Tesla commercial or a brat, but I'm about to sound like both. But really, it's just a different way of driving. And so I'm like, oh, how does this work again? I have to move, whatever. So I drive all the way back home, so now like an hour and 45 minutes later, and I'm like, I've just accomplished nothing, okay? And so I could have like gone upstairs, wallowed, been all pissed off, and I ran into our neighbor who works at a car place.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey, do you know any other places? Like, what do you recommend? And he gave me not only like a place, but the owner's name and to ask for this guy so I could get a discount and like highly recommended them. And I was like, wow, this was so meant to be. Now, if I was all pissed off and just went upstairs and didn't say hey to him and didn't talk to him,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, nothing, I would have gotten nothing accomplished, right? But I figured out a way to reset my attitude, which you can really only do once you've practiced it enough, I think. And then got the recommendation, went there today, and got us on the books to have your car fixed.
Now.
Like, that's how you get shit done. And I think that's what Jeffrey is saying, is like the connection between resilience and getting shit done.
Correct. It may stop you once, but it's not going to stop you two times or even 10 times. Think about your own ability to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And you call the person and they don't answer the phone or they don't respond, or you leave a voicemail message and they don't respond to that. What does that do to your resilience? It gets you. For the moment, it gets you. And I told people yesterday in the seminar that I gave, if you go to somebody and they follow up three times and they don't call you back, go to their office and say, your phone's broken. It must be. I left you three messages. You haven't called me back. There are things you can do that will make it fun and make it funny, but you are not having enough fun.
So, Jeffrey, may I ask you, would you be willing to share like this one paragraph from your book?
If I can.
Okay. I really like at the bottom of page 104, where you start with anyone can make an excuse. And you can have my copy if you'd like.
Is it bigger?
No.
Oh.
And then
Adam, can I have my glasses?
And then.
Oh, I see.
And then if you want to go to page 105 and maybe stop around here. I think that would be really... You guys, give us some thumbs up if you want to hear a paragraph from Jeffrey's new book. We need to like... Oh, look, there we go.
Thank you. One thumb up is
all I need. I love it. Oh, there's like multiples. Awesome.
Right. If it's Brian Kelm, it doesn't count as much. Just give me a thumb up if I had to go pee.
Jeffrey!
Sorry.
That's like Toastmasters. You have to pee!
Yay! Okay, way to go, Brian. Way to go, Brian. Okay, so here's the deal. Anyone can make an excuse, including you. It takes people of character to figure out what they can do, be in control of their own emotions, think quickly on their feet, and come up with something that is forward-moving rather than self-defeating. Something that's on the offense rather than being offensive. Something that states willingness rather than creates a defense. Something that says what you can do, not what you can't do. And something that states what could happen rather than restates what just happened. And keep in mind that this is just the response part of resilience. How do you react? How do you respond? And how do you recover? That's the resilience trio. And recovering is everything, because the recovering part deals with your attitude. The recovering part deals with how you think about what just happened and how you responded to it, because sometimes you're pissed off. Sometimes you're genuinely pissed off about what happened.
So, Alex, if you're listening, maybe you can pop this in there. I want you guys to think about what Jeffrey just said. Like, literally rate yourself so you can figure out where you need to improve. How often are you thinking about how often are you on the offense versus the defense? How often are you thinking about what you can do versus what you can't do? And are you thinking about what could happen versus what could go wrong or what may not happen? And so Alex will pop those in there. And I really want you to think about them. What are you doing? Because that is a big part of your resilience factor.
Yep. And some people take it way too personally. Some people, like somebody doesn't show up for an appointment, you can't take it personally. It's a business event. And, you know, I didn't say the right thing. I didn't do the right thing. I didn't follow up the right way. Dude, just get over it. The guy didn't show up. Take the lesson, not the actual happenstance, and figure out, okay, what do I have to say or what do I have to do where it won't happen again?
Yeah.
Because if somebody doesn't return your call, that's a symptom. That is not a problem. Why they didn't return your call, that's the problem. And if you can get to why they didn't show up, why they didn't return the call, why they didn't make the sale, why they didn't say yes to you, whatever that why is, that will lead you to it next time if you're positive about it. Mm-hmm. It is not going to, you know, if you, oh, damn customers, our prices are too high, we're becoming a commodity. That line pisses me off so bad. We're becoming a commodity. Oh, really? You're selling pigs? You're selling cattle? You're selling oil?
No, but Jeffrey, we really are.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That is a commodity, and you can't be lowering yourself to that situation. You have a value. Your business has a value. And you can't compete with Amazon because they have a lower price? No, no, you can compete with Amazon because you're person to person. All right, so diehards, listen. Resilience is something that you learn over time. I've written about it in Get Shit Done ad infinitum, not ad nauseum, ad infinitum. It will be one of 100 things that you'll get about how to produce more and how to be more productive and how to procrastinate less so that you can profit more. Got it?
Damn
productivity,
straight.
Procrastination, profitability. Those are the three major elements of getting shit done.
You guys, Jeffrey's not going to tell you this, so I am. Go get his book. It's really, really, really good. I've read it a bunch of times now as the editor, and I promise you it's really good.
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time. I mean, I wrote it quickly, but the editing part takes longer than the writing part because you're always trying to figure out, okay, what did this mean? And it's the more quickly you write things, the more mistakes you make, just by the way.
You're welcome.
And it still matters that you get it right in the final product. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of frustration involved in that. And then there's people involved in it because you have to record the book, and I'm recording that right now. And there are lessons that you learn about this whole process while you're doing the process.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're resilience lessons because
Greg Fox, hey, hey.
Hey, Greg. Hey, dude. Yeah, we watched the Eagles game yesterday in misery.
He watched it.
Yeah, and then my buddy Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, came over yesterday just to bust my balls about how his Vikings beat my Eagles.
True story.
Yeah, and I mean, he busted them bad.
All right, guys, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm challenging you, become resilient and a person of attitude, and you will produce more, you will procrastinate less, and you will profit more. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.